Welcome to Trending Health, where we provide leaders with valuable insights and perspectives on the evolving health industry. Brought to you by Vynamic, Trending Health explores topics that are real, relevant, and worth discussing. I'm your host, Jen Burke. As competitive and regulatory pressures mount, life sciences organizations are tightening their timelines and budgets when bringing products to market. In this environment, it's essential to start commercialization planning earlier to ensure a successful launch and hit peak revenue targets. I'm here with Vynamic's product launch service leads, Ashley Stanley and Brian Stom, as well as Managing Director of Propensity 4, Chris Savage, to discuss why early planning is so critical and what leaders need to incorporate into their launch preparations to meet the moment. Welcome back, everyone. This is definitely the Product Launch A-Team.
Thanks, Jen. Really excited to be here today.
Really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Thanks, Jen. It's great to be back on the Trending Health podcast. I think it's been nearly 4 years since I've been part of the show, so I'm excited to be here and chat about product launch and data analytics today.
2023 was a huge year for pharmaceutical product launches. Brian, can you start by recapping the recent evolution we've seen in the space?
So as you know, the product launch landscape has changed significantly over the past 10 years and has become more complex today than it was ever before. If you look at growth since 2022, the market has grown by nearly $100 billion to $1.6 trillion today. And if you look at the number of launches, last year alone, there were 55 new indication launches, which is the second highest volume in FDA history. And most of those was mostly in rare disease and oncology. So what does this mean? It means it's becoming more challenging to keep up with the cost, the competition, and the pace of bringing a product to market. For a life sciences company, this complexity is for a variety of reasons. First, from a patient care perspective, there's a greater focus on personalized medicine within the patient care pathway. Complexity in regulatory and reimbursement continues to be a trend within the landscape. From a market perspective, there continues to be increased speed to get a product to market, as well as a more competitive market. Another trend is that there's unique go-to-market strategies, which are making it more complex to launch a product today. Reason being is that products today are going after smaller subset of patients. And there's a greater focus as a result on alliance and partnership launches due to R&D investment from private investors. And lastly, cost. Year over year, the cost to bring a drug to market rises nearly 15%. So the bottom line is that teams are launching products with higher operating costs under tighter timelines, all within a very crowded marketplace. Teams are being asked to do more than they've ever done before with less.
So Brian, you're completely spot on there. The cost pressure in particular is huge. Organizations are facing increased scrutiny to keep costs down. A recent report showed the return on investment has decreased by a whopping 82%, down to just 1% in 2022, which is the lowest percentage in the 13 years this stat has been recorded. While R&D expenses are a large percentage of this, SG&A expenses are a significant contributor. And this is creating very palpable pressure for organizations to meet their projections, which is largely not happening across the board. A recent analysis of 280 products launched in the US showed that a third of the new products missed their initial projections. And there's a couple factors for that. One, limited market access. A large majority of products that miss first-year forecasts have market access issues, lack of coverage, greater than expected expenses on discounts and rebates, high patient cost sharing due to unfavorable placement, or weak health economic evidence to support price. Internally, an inadequate understanding of market differentiation, potentially not understanding HCP profiles and how they would adopt a product, not clearly articulating what the appropriate patient type is for a specific product, or underestimating the difficulty in converting patients and prescribers from existing therapies. And then finally, misalignment between the original forecast and the brand strategy. So often we see a forecast is created 2 to 3 years before launch, and then it isn't adjusted appropriately based on all of the strategic decisions that a brand makes as it goes through the launch planning process.
Chris, I think all this conversation points to the importance of early launch planning. We're starting to see companies begin the commercialization process much earlier in the product launch lifecycle. So 3-4 years out from anticipated approval, and sometimes well in advance of data readouts. I think a lot of this is due to teams trying to get ahead of the competitive and complex landscape that we've talked about and are seeking to get a better handle on the market needs and a better understanding of the market they're getting ready to launch into. And they need to understand what the market looks like now and what it looks like when they're getting ready to launch their product. Teams are thinking about early launch activities. And as you just mentioned, you know, there's a lot of challenges that they face in terms of trying to meet their projections, but starting these activities early, things such as identifying what their access strategy is going to be or definition of their value proposition, doing those things early better sets them up for success. And it's just happening traditionally a lot sooner than we've seen companies start in the past. It's definitely a risk to start releasing investment funds early, but to Brian's point, we're seeing a very high rate of approvals come through the FDA due to the high unmet need of patients. I think companies are really starting to think through what is our comfort level and what's our approach going to be for ungating these funds. Are we going to be tying it to data milestones? Are there criteria that we're going to be considering or market factors or triggers that's going to unleash these funds? But they're having to really think through some of those tougher decisions and understanding where they're going to need to make those investments to ensure that they can best position their launch strategy and set their teams up for success. And, you know, we haven't even talked about how difficult it is to access customers and offices since COVID. As teams are starting to think through this early launch planning process and what activities they need to be considering and even what market shaping initiatives are going to be moving forward with, they shouldn't underestimate the importance of how they're going to be educating and engaging with HCPs early on, knowing that this is likely to be a big challenge at launch.
In today's increasingly complex, unpredictable, yet highly regulated healthcare environment, Dynamic partners with medical affairs clients to design and implement strategic frameworks, business processes, and operating models. Complementing the scientific medical priorities of today's organizations while always maintaining a steadfast focus on the patient. Visit dynamic.com/info to discuss how we can help you transform by connecting strategy to action. Before the break, we were talking about how market forces are really coalescing into a mounting pressure for organizations to launch efficiently, impactfully, and to perhaps begin planning earlier, more so than ever before, when it comes to preparing for launch. I loved your point, Ashley, about how it's not only early launch planning, but there are tactics that you might start to pull through earlier as well, particularly as it relates to market shaping or education, especially as Brian mentioned, the market is moving more and more to specialty patient populations, rare disease, or even more complex therapies that will require a higher investment in physicians before you even go to market to help them be able to understand the treatments or identify patients. Brian, I'd love to make things a little bit more concrete for our listeners to be able to tell them a little bit more than just saying, let's start planning early. What are some of the specific things they should be starting to put into practice as they're thinking about early launch planning?
More and more companies are having to ungate funds at risk. So it's very important that that investment is done in a productive manner. So what does that mean? There's three areas that we're starting to see companies focus on when it comes to pre-HLR, pre-data readout planning. The first is really looking at what are those key deliverables, often in the T-minus 36 to T-minus 18 timeframe. So what are those key deliverables that need to be provided to your markets to ensure that the teams have what they need to be successful? So looking at who is creating those deliverables, where those deliverables will be handed off to, when they'll be handed off, and how local markets should be leveraging those materials. It might not seem like a lot, but that little bit of focus on some of that pre-HLR planning will go a long way when it comes to crunch time. The second area you just mentioned was scenario planning. So we're seeing this more and more. Again, if you think about the competition that's in the market and the need to get the most out of the dollars that you're investing. So now companies are starting to think through these scenarios in terms of best, base, and worst case scenario. But what does that mean? That might mean looking at what evidence is needed to drive adoption and gain belief in your value proposition. Does our customer base understand our scientific narrative? From a patient perspective, is anything novel with our therapy that requires education and additional support? These are things that will drive that scenario planning and questions that need to be asked to ensure that we're defining our strategy appropriately and we're setting expectations for each of these scenarios in terms of what success looks like. And the last thing, and it often gets overlooked, but it's extremely important, is designing a forward-looking and scalable launch team. So what that means is really defining the capabilities you need to be successful, understanding what that headcount looks like, and then creating an operating model, ways of working that you can implement over time. It's important that teams need to define the right level investment and not just do what's worked historically. We can't think about what works at the past and apply that to what's going to work today. And now that means that you have to stand up commercial and medical teams ahead of that HLR, ahead of that data readout, which may look different for each company depending on the product, the size of the company, or even how established the therapy area is within the organization. For instance, leaders may need to stand up their teams earlier and may need to consider third parties to do so. And there's a few factors to consider, whether it's internal and external resources that you're going to leverage to build out your team. Internally, it's obviously a bigger investment. So teams should consider this if you have a clear approval pathway, it's a low-risk area, or if there is an established team already working in this therapeutic area within the company. If you're going to consider an external party to stand up your team, make sure it's because it's a high-risk product, it's a new mechanism of action, it's a new therapeutic area with limited pipeline. This gives you the flexibility to contract the work for a set duration in which you could then always internalize or extend the team based on data readout milestones.
These are all extremely important, Brian. You're essentially setting up the team infrastructure to own and drive all of the launch activities. And once these teams are in place, they can start to initiate the early launch planning activities. As I mentioned earlier, it's really important to ensure that teams have a good grasp of the market that they're launching into. So oftentimes you're initiating market landscape analyses to better understand the disease state, customer segments across HCPs, patients, and payers, as well as a competitive landscape. And it's critically important that these teams are setting up mechanisms to continually monitor the landscape and how it evolves over time, especially for teams who are starting some of these activities at 4 years out from launch. You can almost guarantee that that landscape is going to look very different as they're getting ready to bring their product to market. Whether there are new competitive entrants or access challenges or opportunities or barriers they're going to need to consider, they have to make sure they're keeping a good pulse on what's happening across that market. And then also pulling through any changes that might impact their launch strategies. As Chris mentioned, oftentimes companies are missing their projections, and that can be due to this evolving market landscape just changing so quickly. So it's all tied together, making sure that companies have a good grasp of what's happening across that market, they're monitoring it, they're pulling through any changes that might be impacting their strategy, and making sure they're pulling through and adjusting their forecast as well. It's also crucial for cross-functional collaboration throughout the entire launch planning process, making sure the team is fully aligned on the strategy and what they're going to be delivering on, and identifying any gaps in how they're executing upon that strategy. Also ensuring great clarity across all the dependencies and the functions that are working together, especially for these early launch teams. You know, oftentimes they're very lean. There's team members who are wearing many hats. So making sure that functions such as medical, market access, marketing, and other key functions are working in lockstep is really important. I also want to mention that we're seeing commercial get involved much earlier in the launch life cycle as well. So they're part of the R&D and clinical phase of product development. They're having a seat at the table, providing input, and getting insight into early strategic decisions that helps them further on as they're getting ready to commercialize the product. Gaining this team alignment and providing the commercial teams with greater insight earlier in the clinical development lifecycle helps establish those relationships early on, and we've seen makes the transition into commercialization much easier.
Ashley, definitely agree with everything you and Brian are saying. You know, and when I think about your point about initiating a market landscape analysis, I'm thinking quite a bit about what's happening in today's market, right? Take the obesity therapeutic area as an example. We've had a few products that have been approved in that arena, and now they're starting to look at secondary indications in places outside of weight loss. One specific market I think about is the sleep apnea market, right? We've just heard recently that some of the products are going to be targeting that area. And for any products that were in a pipeline focused in sleep apnea, they now have to deal with a very large product set that's very well known as they come to market. That will obviously significantly shift what their forecasts look like, what their launch potential may look like, and then how they have to resource to compete against those behemoth products that are out in the market. And oftentimes what we're seeing is clients are really struggling connecting those type of market events to the data and insights that they have to really inform that strategy and planning process. So our recommendation is always the company should establish an analytics approach about 24 to 36 months pre-launch to determine the investments, and then to figure out how those gated funds should be released so that they can be effective in market early on. And when it comes to understanding the market landscape, pairing primary market research with secondary data analytics will ensure you're gaining access to a diverse population of HCPs. You're providing a balanced view of the future market based on the personas you're likely to interact with. And that way you can accurately size the market potential and clearly define the impact to the patient populations you'll be interacting with. You know, it's important to note specific markets have unique attributes, and organizations really need to take a personalized approach to understand what is driving those individual markets so you can maximize your investments and you can accelerate impact into those markets. Now, when I think about early launch planning, there's a few questions that always come to mind from my perspective. First, what beliefs exist in the market today about when, how, and why to treat patients? And how does that need to evolve to drive adoption of the product? What evidence is needed to overcome those entrenched beliefs? Does the customer even understand the scientific narrative? And then from a patient perspective, is there anything novel with a therapy that requires educational and additional ongoing support to make sure that once you get a patient onto therapy, they remain on therapy over time? And then finally, how does ongoing legislation, such as the IRA, impact my future prospects? And then once that market analysis is completed, organizations should be prepared to help payers identify subpopulations where that drug is likely to succeed, and then back up those recommendations with data at launch and then ongoing post-launch as well.
The Trending Health Podcast is brought to you by Vynamic, health industry management consultants helping clients transform by connecting strategy to action. Through our structured yet flexible delivery model, Vynamic's right-sized teams work side-by-side with life sciences, health services, and health technology client teams, enabling growth, culture, and performance. Curious how we can help your organization achieve its strategic goals? Visit vynamic.com/info to learn more. Before the break, we were talking about what those early launch planning activities can really look like for life sciences organizations and the criticality of being able to stand up the right teams at the right times to be able to not only plan, but understand the marketplace, think through the various scenarios that they could encounter along the way to launch, and then flexibly react as they see evolution in the space, as they get new data and adjust not only their plans, but their forecasts accordingly to really impact the likelihood of success at launch. I'd love to hear from each of you if you could give leaders just one thing to focus on during the early launch planning period to really help move the needle, what would it be? Ashley, let's start with you.
I think leaders should focus on building the right size teams for their product launch and scaling those teams and the resources and the capabilities required to deliver on their strategy. And oftentimes that is gated as part of the data readout milestones. So as Brian mentioned earlier, sometimes these early launch teams are a combination of internal FTEs and external third parties. And as leaders are seeing their path to commercialization become clear, they should really think about how they are going to be building on their teams and if they're going to be hiring in full FTEs. They need to be thinking through, you know, even more broadly speaking, what that means from a portfolio or pipeline perspective. So if an organization is investing in a TA or they're launching a product with multiple indications, how are they building those teams out over time to ensure they're creating that capability internally to support those future launches? As part of this, I know you said one thing, but as part of this, you also have to include operating model and ways of working. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, especially as commercial is getting involved earlier in the R&D and clinical phases, mapping out what those ways of working and responsibilities look like early on is really important. And then also acknowledging how those ways of working need to evolve as launch nears. We've also seen our clients challenged with defining the operating model between global and local markets. And it's really important to define early on what global's role is going to be in engaging with the markets and how they're going to interact with them. Setting expectations for resources and data will be available from a global perspective will ensure that local markets can more effectively plan their launch activities and budget appropriately. The last thing I'll just mention, it's a slight nuance for alliance launches, but it's so critically important when we're talking about ways of working. As you might expect, even gaining alignment on ways of working and an operating model within one organization can be difficult, but doing it across two can prove even more challenging. So starting early on and making sure it's very clear how decisions are going to be made, who is leading certain aspects of the launch, and how information and data sharing is going to work across the organizations is really important. Making sure that there is a clear governance model in place is just going to ensure that the teams are better set up for success to deliver on their launch.
I think the one advice I would give is stress the importance of trying to focus more on a long-term pipeline strategy versus the strategy of an immediate launch. And what that means is really looking at your entire pipeline through a portfolio or tumor strategy versus a brand strategy. And this is especially important as we see more manufacturers trying to cluster several indications at launch to maximize return on investment. One of the reasons why it's important to focus on that portfolio strategy is that we're often seeing teams approaching launches in silos and then trying to make it all work with different indications as they get further down the road. And that's causing a lot of problems later. It's really important that you think through the product portfolio and tumor strategy to establish priorities so you can tell a more comprehensive story as opposed to telling a singular brand story.
For me, when I think about what Ashley talked about with team structure, Brian, what you talked about from an overall portfolio strategy perspective, for me, it's how do you take those two components of a brand launch strategy and make sure it folds back into your overall operational forecast and making sure you're continuing to get that right. We've got to think about the short term, the medium term, and the long term. And a step that is often missed as you're building up that team and you're making critical decisions along the pathway is making sure that that is then reflected back into that forecast. When we think about how we go to launch, it takes a lot of well-timed engagements with meaningful messages to break through the noise and change a customer's behaviors. So spending time deeply understanding each of the players in the initial treatment design, ongoing care of a patient, and developing a data-backed strategy to address those moments that matter is critical to accelerate the impact, ultimately driving business performance. The comforting thing, though, is that the data and the resulting analytics have advanced to the point where we can get more precise. We can get hyper-localized to the health and the social issues that patients and HCPs face in each market. So this is ultimately going to lead to more targeted strategies and more contextual personalized engagements. At Propensity Four, we find that many organizations already have the data they need to make this a possibility. But unfortunately, it's tough for them to find that data within their organization and then to mine and synthesize that data in a way that provides relevant, actionable insights for them to drive the business forward.
Whether it's the structure, strategy, or analytics that are fueling early launch planning for life sciences organizations, we've certainly given their leaders a lot to think about when it comes to how they can navigate their preparations and maximize their impact at launch. So I want to thank you all for joining us today to talk about this exciting and complex topic. For our listeners who want to learn more about how Vynamic and Propensity 4 can support your organization with product launch, check out the links in our show notes. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Trending Health. To help more listeners find the podcast, make sure to like, subscribe, or leave a review. For more information about this episode and the team behind it, check out trendinghealth.com. And to learn more about how Vynamic helps health companies transform by connecting strategy to action, visit vynamic.com.